Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 86, all stanzas. Let all the earth Jehovah fear. Let all that dwell both far and near in awe before him stand. For lo, he spake, and it was done, and all with sovereign power begun stood fast at his command. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 86.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the prophecy of Ezekiel, chapters 8 and 9. Ezekiel, chapter 8 and 9. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. And then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his loins even downward fire, and from his loins even upward as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. And he put forth the form of an hand, and took me by a lock of mine head. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now in the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and beheld northward at the gate of the altar this image of jealousy in the entry. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, and that I should go far off from my sanctuary? But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, Go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in, and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jezaniah the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, The Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. He said also unto me, Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, and there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Then said he unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house. And behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east. And they worshipped the sun toward the east. Then he said unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, Cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, 6 came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. They went in and stood beside the brazen altar. The glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in mine hearing, Go ye after him through the city, and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. And he said unto them, Defile the house, and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth, and slew in the city. And it came to pass, while they were slaying them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face, and cried and said, Ah, Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Then said he unto me, The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, The Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. And as for me also, mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. Bus the Pewter, who hopes to go into the hospital in the coming days. Let us try to pray for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, it is a solemn word that we may hear and read together out of thy holy word in this evening hour, a day of reckoning, and for all the sin, for all the abominations. And then beginning at the house of God, oh, that thou may remember us and our dear children, and that in a decision that lies before us, there may be fruit upon the labors, that we may not be among those that are to be slain by that destroying hand of thee in that great day of days, but that we may be given understanding hearts, that we live in a day of grace, and that it is still possible to be converted. O Lord, grant us that a saving impression in our souls, that we might hunger and thirst after righteousness before that it is forever and eternally too late. And when we are called together in this day to remember all the needs, oh, then in the first place there is a need for life in our souls, that we may hunger and thirst for that which is of thee. O grant it in mercy to us and unto our dear children, that that which is brought in thy house in the season that is to come may be followed by thy Holy Spirit's power, that thou may give us strength also to do the labors of our hands, as thy servant and as the elders in the midst of the congregation, in the bringing and the reading of thy holy word, and in the laying of the needs continually before thee, in the visiting of the homes and to stand beside the sick beds, in the catechizing of our youth and of our children. Oh, that thou may sanctify and bless the work of our hands in the midst of this flock, that thou may remember the labors of parents in the warning and in the instruction of their children, in the things that have to do with thee and the need of their souls, that thou may remember the labors of our instructors in our own school, and that thou may go before all of us together, that thy word may have free course, and that it may bring forth fruit to the honor of thy name for time and for eternity. O Lord, wilt thou look on us in thy mercy, and that thou may remember us according to thy word. Remember all the afflicted and the sick ones. Wilt thou be with him that must enter into the hospital again. Thou knowest all the needs and the cares of his body. Oh, that thou may go before him in all that lies before him, and that thou may give the physician skill, wisdom, and understanding, and that thou may spare him in mercy for his wife and his family and for us as a congregation. And Lord, that thou may bless him together with each and every one of us with a great measure of thy Holy Spirit, that we may receive that blessing that is not only natural, but that will not pass away in that day that we have to stand before thy great judgment seat. And wilt thou look upon all that are in the hospitals, and all those that are weak and sick and afflicted also in the season that lies before us. And wilt thou give patience to bear the afflictions that thou dost lay upon us, that we may have a desire and a will that may be in thy hand to bow under all thy ways, that it may be sanctified for the need of our poor souls. Do remember each and every one of our children and the youth of the congregation, and those that have no more desire to be in thy house. Oh, that thou may remember them in the places where they are, as Sabbath after Sabbath day. Oh, that thou may give them to remember their Creator in the days of their youth, and that thou may draw them in mercy again, and that thou may look upon each and every one of our children, and give that the seed that may be sown may also find a good ground in the hearts of our children, ground that is plowed up by thee and made fit to receive thy word. Lord, look upon us, young and old. There are also those that do approach closer and closer unto the day of their death, that is known by them because the old must die. Oh, that thou may give a hastening in the time of old age, when the heart that is in a natural way growing so hard and so cold, because of the many callings and blessings that have gone unheeded in our life. Oh, thy word is powerful, and thy voice that is a voice of majesty, that thou may speak also in the life of those that do approach unto the gates of death, that their mouth also may be given to tell something of the wonders of the Lord. Lord, remember us and go before us in all the needs. Look upon husbands and wives. Wilt thou cause love to flourish in the midst of our families, that children may be obedient unto all authority, and that we may be given wisdom and much grace in thy Holy Spirit to lead our children in the knowledge of thee. Wilt thou look upon each and every one that has needs and cares which they bear over this world alone? Oh, that thou may supply in those needs that they are not able to share with others, and that thy throne may be, that they may be given to find a place at thy throne of grace, and to experience that thou art alive, and that thou art a ruler over all the land. Lord, wilt thou go with thy word also in this season and in this evening hour? Wilt thou help us in the bringing of thy word this night and in the season that lies before us? Oh, may thy word be as a seed which is falling upon the hearts of this flock. And thou knowest, thou sayest, some of them, they will be so hard, and they will not, that seed will not enter them before that they have gone from thy sanctuary. Then this or that will have plucked it away. And then, Lord, if thou wilt not make a change, then it shall but testify against us. Oh, when that ground is but a little ways deep, and that there is stones underneath, oh, when there are weeds and tares to choke that seed, oh, that thou may look upon us, Lord. There is none of us that has good ground. Oh, thou must make it good. Thou must plow it up. And thus our dependence is upon thee. Look upon us then in mercy in this evening, that thou may give us freedom, that thou may take away what hinders to speak and to listen, and that thou may be in the midst of us as one that serveth, and that thou may receive all the glory for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 220, stanzas 3, 4, and 6. A place for thy people thou, Lord, didst prepare. Thy vine deeply rooted rewarded thy care. Its branches like cedars, majestic and free, spread over the mountains from river to sea. There is one collection bag today for our school. Psalter 220, stanzas 3, 4, and 6. Congregation, we read in the Word of God of a woman who sent up her cry, her supplication unto the Lord. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, thou Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Then we read that the Lord Jesus answered her not a word. Are there those also who do send up their cry, their supplication unto the Lord, and who have to experience, even as this woman did experience, that the Lord answers you not a word? We read of the ignorance, we read of the foolishness of the servants of the Lord, the disciples of the Lord, that these disciples will send her away. But the Lord Jesus, though he answers her not a word, does not send her away. And the cry of that woman, that becomes very short. We read finally, under the affliction that she has to bear, seemingly without the notice and without the attention of the Lord, that this woman, she comes and she worships him. And then she says such a beautiful, a simple little prayer, Lord, help me. This is now the cry. This is now the prayer. This is now the sigh that the Lord Jesus heard. May you also experience this in your own life. With the help of the Lord, on the evening of this prayer day, we wish to consider with you the prophecy of Ezekiel, chapter 9, in the fourth verse. Ezekiel 9, verse 4. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. So far, the words of our text. A mark set upon a sighing church. First, the reason for this sighing. Second, the notice which is taken of this sighing. And then after we sing to close with a word of application. A mark set upon a sighing church. First, the reason for this sighing. And second, the notice which is taken of this sighing. Our text, congregation, is taken from a vision, one of the visions of the servant of the Lord, the prophet Ezekiel. It is the sixth year of the captivity of Jehoiakim. It is, well, in our calendar year, around August, September. It is about a year and 2 months after that Ezekiel has received his first vision. It is most likely on the Sabbath day, and Ezekiel is sitting here in his house. He is not in his own land. No, he is with the children of Israel and many of the children of Judah. He is in the land of captivity. There is no temple there. The elders of Judah, they are sitting here before the prophet of the Lord. They also have been taken captive with Jehoiakim. And probably Ezekiel is teaching, he is giving instruction, or it could be, and that Ezekiel is at this moment waiting to receive from the Lord the words of instruction that he is to give unto these elders of the land. Very suddenly we read here that the hand of the Lord fell upon him. And then the Lord carries Ezekiel in a vision unto the temple of the Lord that is in Jerusalem. That is the way that the Lord has revealed his word unto the prophets that were in those days. And then what does he see? It says, then, and behold, the glory of the Lord of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Thus Ezekiel is carried in this vision, and when he may come in this vision to the temple of the Lord, then he may see that within that temple is the glory of the Lord. Thus Ezekiel is coming in this vision under the impression of the majesty and of the greatness and of the holiness of the God, that covenant God of the children of Israel. What a wonder if when we may be brought into the house of the Lord, that we also may be brought under such an impression of the presence of the Lord in his place of worship, on the preaching of his word. Ezekiel may see it, but it is not seen by those who he sees here in this temple. It is not visible unto all. We read in the 12th verse of chapter 8, they say that the Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. Thus why is it that they do not see, they do not come under the impression of that greatness and the majesty and that holiness of the Lord? That is because of what they are doing in that house of the Lord. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. Thus, what have the children of Judah now done? Ezekiel may be shown by the Lord what they are doing in the temple of the Lord when he is so far away from them that they have set up an image. Probably an image of Baal, perhaps, within that temple, that house of the Lord. It is an image of jealousy. It is an image which is provoking the Lord God unto jealousy. What does the Lord say? He says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Why? Because he says, I am a jealous God. And he cannot endure that his people, that his church would be given over to seek to bow down, to place their trust in any other God but he. This is now happening. This is now happening in the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. We know that the other tribes, they have already been taken into captivity. And also that king of Judah and the great men of the land, they have also been taken into captivity. But it is the poor of the land that have been left in the land, and King Zedekiah, he has been made king over them. 11 years he has been permitted to serve, but we read that he does evil in the sight of the Lord. And now the Lord gives unto his servant Ezekiel to see what they are doing. There is an idol in the temple of the Lord. It is an abomination unto the Lord. But it is not only one. No, then we read that there are many, actually, many idols which are set up in this house of the Lord. And one by one, the Lord is taking Ezekiel from the entrance of the house, bringing him into the court, and he is going deeper and deeper, even unto the holy sanctuary of the Lord. The Lord is saying unto him, turn thee yet again, and I will show unto you more abominations that they do, that is, within my house. What was that continual sin of Israel and Judah? Well, we see that throughout their history, that it was their desire that they would be as the nations which were all about them, that they wanted to be as the nations which served their gods, their idols, that they have continually looked at the practices of the Gentiles and of the heathen, that they have been disappointed in the way of the service of the Lord that he has given unto them, that they did not want to bow before the face of the Lord. They did not want to lay everything in the hands of the Lord. And they had continually their eye on those that were on the outside of them. To be as these other nations in their religions, to be as these other nations as the kings that were ruling over them. And so the children of Israel did not want to be a separate people. They did not want to be a different people from all the people that surrounded them. But they despised the blessings of the Lord, and they provoked the Lord God unto anger. And now what do we see? The Lord, when he takes Ezekiel in, he sees that they have drawn pictures, and they have drawn images in the chambers of the house of the Lord. They have drawn images of the Egyptian idols. And the priests, the Levites, the servants of the Lord, they are worshiping these images. We read that he is taken in further, and the women, they wept unto Tammuz, that is, a heathen idol. And this heathen idol that was worshipped in a very shocking and abominable way. And these women of Judah, now they are bowing down, they are weeping unto this idol, that this idol may protect them, that this idol may save them from their enemies, from the Chaldeans. Ezekiel is brought to see between the porch and the altar, we read, that is a very sacred place in that house of the Lord. And then he is shown there 25 men, their backs are toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces are toward the east, and they are worshiping the sun. That was an express command of the Lord.
that they were not to worship the creation that was about them as all of the heathen nations, and not to place their trust in anything but in Him. But they desired again to do as the heathen. We read that they put the branch unto the nose. That was the olive branch or the vine branch, which was an idolatrous manner of worshiping their idols, when they placed a branch in the way of some kind of a ritual in honor unto their gods. We can understand how that the Lord is provoked. That people, they desire to worship, they desire to bow unto the gods of the heathens and of the Gentiles. They have a desire to follow after their customs. They have a desire to walk after their ways, after everything that they did. The Lord has borne a very long time with these His people. As the Lord had dealings with them, they have watched. They have seen how that the 10 tribes before their very eyes, they have at the prophecy of God's servants, that these 10 tribes, they have been gathered together by the enemy, and that they have been brought unto a far away land. Thus, yes, they have received their warnings. Then they have seen their own king Jehoiakim with his family, and they have seen all of the smiths, and they have seen all of the carpenters, and all those that were in a higher position in that land. They have seen each of them being taken away. Yes, and the Lord has had dealings, many dealings. The Lord has given warnings, many warnings in the life of His people. And when Ezekiel may see what they are doing, then the Lord shows to him that there seems to be no fruit upon all the dealings of the Lord with His people. And yet the Lord shows him something else. The Lord shows him that not everyone in Judah is following after this idol worship, that not everyone in Judah is agreeing with what is taking place. But our text that is speaking about a people that are sighing and that are crying under these abominations. Thus, they are sore vexed. They are sore grieved for all the things that they see all around them. It is as we read of Lot, that he vexed his righteous soul day by day in that land of Sodom. And now so it is in the land of the people of the Lord. What does David say? He says, "Mine eyes, they run down with water because they keep not thy law." Why? That people are made to weep. That people are made to groan within themselves. Why? Well, they see. They see what is the service of the Lord being so completely destroyed. And there is in the heart of that people a love for the Lord. And what has to do with His honor and what has to do with His name. And then their heart that is so sore grieved, because all that has to do with the honor of the name of the Lord, that is so desecrated in that temple of the Lord. It was so against the Lord. It was so against His nature. It is so against His will. It is so against His command. It is so against His long-suffering. It is so against His goodness that was bestowed upon them. Or it is against everything from the side of the Lord. And thus there is a people, and that with Moses, or they say unto the Lord, Lord, see now what takes place, and what will now the heathen say when this is even thy people? And thy people, they depart so far that thou must destroy thy people. A grief unto a people within that people of Judah. That the enemy is going to laugh, that the enemy is going to mock, that the enemy is going to blaspheme because of the behavior of God's church. Not only so, but it is a people themselves who cannot do without the Lord. And then there is a fear that because they have departed so far from the Lord, then there is a fear that the Lord is indeed going to remove Himself from that people. It is a fear that the Lord is going to leave them, even as we read here, and the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon He was, to the threshold of the house. That the long suffering of the Lord that has lasted so, so very long, that there is a people that see that finally the Lord Himself, when there was a continuance in those ways of sin and bringing those abominations in the worship of the house of the Lord, then finally the Lord is with His Spirit going to stand on the threshold of the house. And that the Lord finally is going to depart, that He is going to leave, that He is going to forsake His own people. Because He cannot dwell with sin. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel commit here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary, that I should leave them, that I should depart from my house in their midst. And therefore this people that we read of, and that do sigh under this burden, we read that sometimes they also cry under this burden. What does that mean? That means that there were times that this people have not only in their inner chamber, that this people have not only within their hearts, but this people have also by times with their mouth. They have cried out in the midst of the congregation. Oh, that weight, and that was laying so heavy upon their heart that their mouth had to go open to warn their fellow man that the Lord was going to depart from them if we did not depart from these iniquities and these sins. That sometimes their silent mouth could not be silent anymore. When that honor of the Lord that did burn within their heart, and when they were overwhelmed with grief and overwhelmed with sorrow and overwhelmed with that fear that the Lord was going to depart from them. Oh, sometimes that condition of the church of God that has laid so heavy upon their hearts and that they were not able to bear up under it anymore. and that their heart had to give vent unto that burden that was, as it were, burning within them. And yet, they were not heard. And why not? Because their cries were despised. Do you know what the Lord calls them? He calls them a remnant. Do you know what a remnant is? A remnant is it is something that gets thrown away. As if we take a piece of cloth and we will make something from this cloth and we cut off the pieces we don't need anymore. They are the remnants. This is what the Lord calls this people that are sighing, that are crying. They are called a remnant. This is the way that people are seen. This is the way that people are viewed in the midst of the outward worship services of the house of the Lord, a remnant. And what was Micaiah? Amongst the 400 prophets that prophesied in the name of Baal. No, then that people, they just mocked with his word. They smote him. They locked him in the prison. It is that remnant of the Lord. And therefore, after they have cried in the midst of their people, and after they have been mocked, and after they have been smitten, and after their word, their cry is despised among them, then there is but one place that they can go. Then there is but one place, and that is in their inner chamber. Then there is nothing for that people left but a sigh. And a sigh that is something which speaks about the helplessness which is felt in the heart. A people who have long cried, a people that have long prayed, a people that have long sought that there might come a change, a people that are not able to bring about a change in their own power, and a people who have nothing left anymore but this sigh. That is not a people who are able to do something about it anymore of themselves. Otherwise, they would do it. And what they do, well, that would be successful. And their burden, that would then disappear. But one who sighs, he sighs because of a burden that he is not able to lift off from himself. And yet we read here that the Lord himself, he sees people that are sighing, this people that are crying, and not only does he see them, but we read that the Lord takes notice of them, that the Lord, he hears their cry. That is our second thought, the notice that is taken of this sighing. And the Lord said unto them, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. Why does the Lord command this? Because his patience that has now come to an end. He is ready, we read here, to destroy the wicked. He has called in here the destroyers. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have the charge over the city to draw near, every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. That is probably the enemy. That is probably the Chaldean soldiers. And thus these soldiers, they are given a commission, not just by their and their commander. No, they are given a commission by the Lord himself. Slay utterly old and young, maids, little children, women, everyone, no one to be excluded. Showing the very severe judgment of the Lord upon his people. And then where were they to begin? They were to begin, we read, at my sanctuary. They were to begin with the leaders. They were to begin with the rulers. Why? Because it is the rulers that had the great responsibility of leading this people in the right direction. But they have not taken heed to their great responsibility. And therefore the judgment that is beginning with the rulers in the land. Then began a day at Jerusalem with the ancient men which were before the house. Not with the youth. No. We speak sometimes to the youth. Where does the Lord begin? The Lord begins with the ancient men. It is the ancient men that had not sighed. It is the ancient men that had not cried. The older that we become, then the greater the responsibility is that is lying upon us. Because of the great goodness that we have seen and all the things that we have experienced by the dealings, the hand of the Lord in our life. And then after the Lord has judged that people, beginning at that house of the Lord with the rulers, and he has judged those that are older, those that ought to have opened their mouth, those that ought to have sighed and cried unto the Lord and did not, then the Lord goes into the midst of the city. And congregation, yet none of this until there was a mark set upon the foreheads of those whom the Lord himself was going to spare. That is, before the remnant of the Lord. Because the Lord says to these destroyers, you now must follow. You must not go before, but you have to follow. You have to go after this man that has this inkhorn by his side. And first, this man is going to place a mark upon those who are the Lord's. From the side of the Lord, congregation, that is not necessary because the Lord knows whom are his. But the Lord is going to use instruments. The Lord is going to use men. The Lord is going to use his angels. The Lord is going to use the enemy to bring destruction unto the wicked. They do not know who are his. Therefore, the Lord is commanding this mark to be set upon them so that they will know who are his. And now this man with this inkhorn by his side, he also needs to know whom must he place this mark upon. And thus the Lord is giving a characteristic. The Lord is giving a mark that is in the life of his own children. And what is that mark? The Lord says, you must mark those who sigh. You must put a mark upon those who cry for all of these abominations. By this sigh, by this cry, you may know who are the true servants of the Lord. No, they are not the true servants of the Lord because they cry. They are not the true servants of the Lord because that they sigh. In themselves, there is no difference. And perhaps they were also at one time one of those who was bowing before these idols. But they sigh and they cry because they are the Lord's, because they are one of His church. This is one of the fruits, one of the fruits of the working of the Spirit of the Lord. Thus, what is the Lord doing? The Lord is returning upon His own work. The Lord is bringing forth these fruits in the life of His children. And then He is receiving these fruits again unto Himself. He is making them soldiers in that warfare, in that hatred for sin, and so that it is grieving their heart. And then the Lord Himself is taking notice of that which He has planted within their heart. He says, that is now My work. That is now well-pleasing unto Me. What did the bride say? Let My beloved come into His garden and eat His pleasant fruits. No, not My fruits. No, no fruit on this tree. But let Him eat His own pleasant fruits. What does David say? Lord, put Thou My tears into Thy bottle. Are they not in Thy book? What does Malachi say? Then they that feared the Lord spake often one with another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. Thus the Lord, He is seeing the fruit of His own work. And now upon these, there is a mark placed. When? Before that the Lord goes in to destroy the wicked. The Lord will take notice of His own church. And the Lord will not forget His church in the destruction of His enemy. It is the church He has known. He has known that church already from eternity. Loved them with an everlasting love. But that people are so ignorant of this. And it can be in this time that it is a long time that it seems like the Lord takes no notice of the cries, of the sighs. And they look about them and they see in this world so much that seems so contradictory, and they see so much in the church that seems so contradictory. Asaph cannot understand it. Why is it that the wicked prosper and that God's children, they are brought under afflictions? Solomon says there is one event to the righteous and to the wicked. Oh, then perplexities, mysteries, judgment, full judgment, right judgment, full justice not being done in this world. But it will become evident in that day that the wicked are destroyed. Children, what was that thing that had to be done before that the destroying angel was let loose over the houses of the Egyptians? Then there was a mark that had to be set on every house of the Israelites, a mark set on every house of His own children. And then we read this also in the book of Revelations, how that destroying angel is commanded that he should not hurt the earth, he should not hurt the sea, that he should not hurt the trees until the servants of the Lord, and they are sealed in their foreheads. Thus, there is a day that sighing church is going to be set apart also in a public way by the Lord, known by their grief, known by their warfare, known by their crying, known by their sighing, and that the Lord is not going to allow and the enemy to destroy this apple of his eye. And so Ezekiel has seen this command of the Lord carried out. And then what is the result? And he says, I was left. That does not mean he was left all by himself. But he says, there were so few. So very, very few. Even among these poor, even among this remnant that was left of the enemy in the land, even of them, that there were so very, very few that had the mark that they can hardly be found. I was left. It is as in the days of Elijah, that he cannot find, that he thinks that he is but alone. How is the congregation today? It is prayer day. But are there also sighers that are in the midst of us? And are those sighers, when they may look about them, are they able to find one another? Let us sing first. Psalter 273, stanzas 2 through 6. The time for Zion's help is near, the time appointed in thy love. Oh, let thy gracious aid appear. Look thou in mercy from above. 2 through 6 of 273. congregation the day that came for Israel, wherein that they were taken into the enemy's land, the day that came for Jehoiakim and his family and the Smiths, that they also were brought away, the day that came also for the remnant that was left of them, the poor of the land, that day that is also coming for each and every one of us. Then that day is coming where the Lord is going to give his command unto the destroyers, that they will go forth. And in that day that the Lord then commands that man with that inkhorn by his side to go forth in the midst of us, in our congregation, amongst the rulers first, then amongst the older ones, and then amongst the rest of the congregation, then upon whom is this mark going to be found? That is not what we know for one another. There are two that know. That is each of us personally and the Lord. What is that mark? A sighing and a crying. We say it is prayer day. And is there such a prayer? Oh, let us not even call it a prayer. The Lord says, even is there such a sigh? That is among the congregation. Or are we of those that are the cause of the sighs of God's true people? What shall that be if we are one of those who are a grief unto the true people of the Lord? If we are one of those that do give offense with our life in the house of the Lord. We live in a nation which causes us to sigh. Is there also a sighing for our nation, for the abominations in our nation? Is there a sighing because of the idolatry in our nation? The idolatry of man, of his strength, of his ability, and that he is able to sport as he does? Is there a sigh in our heart because of this? Or are we, congregation, one of those who is in the midst of the outward church, who is not satisfied to be a separate people, but that we are an offense in the midst of the church, and a cause of the sighs that go up from the heart of the people of the Lord? Do we sigh because of the abominations that are done in our land, because of the breaking of the Sabbath? Do we sigh because of the name of the Lord, how that it is misused? Do we sigh because of the murder of the unborn? Do we sigh because of the transgression of that marriage institution of the Lord? Do we sigh because we can go on and on? Thus, are we also one of those who sighs? It is our duty to cry. Therefore, we have also a committee in our denominations that attempt to make our voice to be heard. But it is also possible to cry without a sigh. And then our cry, that is but hypocrisy. When it is only against all the abominations in an outward way, but it does not grieve us and it does not weigh upon our heart. And then who can put his hand into his bosom and take it out clean? But if we were now to put a mark upon everyone in the midst of us that does sigh for the abominations of our land, then I think that perhaps we will be setting a mark upon very many of us, but perhaps also upon many that are not yet only the true people of the Lord. Thus, our discrimination, our separation that has to come a little bit closer to home. Thus, we will go with the prophet Ezekiel unto the church of the Lord. That is that for which that true church of God, that true remnant of the Lord, that is so concerned and that is sighing and crying. Why? Because these abominations that are done in the midst of the land, they are abominations that are brought even into the midst of the house of the Lord. Often we say that the world that has come into the church, or is it true that our heart is also seeking after all these things in the world? Is there a lack of separation in heart and in life from all that the world desires? Or do we wish to follow after all the customs, after all the practices, and that the world is following, even when we are coming up unto the house of the Lord? Congregation, do we sigh? Do we sigh because of the worldly practices of the limiting of children in families? Does it make us to sigh? Does it make us to sigh because within the church comes also all the worldly philosophies about the role of the woman, the task of the woman, the dress of the woman, all from the world? Do we sigh because in the midst of the church there is the same moral degeneration as we can find in the world? When even in the midst of the church, then it is not seen anymore, it is not felt anymore that it is a sinful thing to be sitting in bathing suits on the beaches with one another, in the pools with one another, when we cannot even see this anymore? Are there those that sigh, or are we a cause of the sighing of that church of God? Is there a sighing because we have left the pilgrim's life, the stranger's life here below? Are we sighing because of the spiritual condition in God's church, because there seems to be as so few of the sons and of the daughters, and that to take the place of the fathers and the mothers in grace, that we sigh because it seems that the walls of the Church of Zion are broken down because of the captivity of God's people, because at their mouth that is so closed, because in their life that is so often so very far away, do we cry, do we sigh because of the lack of knowledge, as the Lord says, my people, and they are destroyed for lack of knowledge? Do we sigh because we see that we feel the formality of religion, but, and that we feel that the truth of religion that does not take hold of each other? Do we sigh because of the destruction of our families? Do we sigh because that there is no more respect for authority? Do we sigh because, in a subtle way, the false doctrines, they also take hold among us within the denomination? The subtle roads of Arminianism, the lack of distinctions within that true church of God, that true saving faith from a faith that is only but temporary? Do we sigh because that the church is hardly even recognized anymore? And that the rich young ruler is hailed as the child of God, and the spiritually lame and the spiritually broken, the spiritually maimed, the spiritually poor, they are despised? Do we sigh because the gospel that is preached unto the rich instead of unto the poor go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof? In congregation, when we get finished with our nation and when we get finished with the church, then are we finished altogether? Really, do we not need even to come now closer? Because we can sigh over all this, and we can sigh over one another. But do we sigh over ourselves? Because it is possible to blame everyone except for ourselves. But this will not be within that true church of God. Are there those that sigh because of that old man that lives within them? An old man that is always seeking after this world, that is always seeking its vanity, that is always seeking its carnality. Is there a people that sigh because the good that they would not, that they do, and the evil, that the good that they would, that they do not, and the evil that they would not, that they do? Do you sigh because of this? Do you sigh because of that law that is in your members? And having cried out against him so long and not able to deliver yourself from his hand, that your cry that has finally become, in all of your helplessness, but a sigh. A sigh for the inward corruption, a sigh because of the blessed communion that you have to miss because of that inward corruption. Congregation, every one of us, we may know it for ourselves. The world, the nations, they stay afloat. Why? Because of sighers. They are afloat because of sighers and criers for the abominations that are done in this land. But do not these sighers become less and less? And when that number of mourners that becomes now so few that it is not sufficient to keep this world afloat anymore and to save this world from its judgments, then it will be destroyed as Sodom and Gomorrah. But not until the Lord has taken out his remnant as a lot out of that city of Sodom. And then they will be delivered from it. And not only from it, and from all the sighing because of it, but from that sighing from that because of that old man. Because then the Lord is also going to be putting a mark on that new man, that new desire, that new love. And that old man, people of the Lord, will not be marked. He will not be marked. And then the destroyer will come in, and that old man will be slain. And then that new man will live without any cause and any reason to sigh anymore. O congregation, it is a serious chapter. It is a serious message. It is prayer day. It speaks about a sigh. Oh, do we have even a sigh on this prayer day? Amen. Oh, Lord, that cannot come from our breast, that must come from thee. Wilt thou bless thy word and give us instruction within, that we may not be the cause of the sighs of thy people, but that we might learn to sigh, because they are the sighs that shall be heard. Lord, thou art the Alpha, thou art the Omega, thou must begin it. And when thou wilt begin it, thou wilt care for it to the very end. Remember then thy people in all their sighing. Comfort them out of this thy holy word. Be with us in the rest of this week. Keep us from all iniquity. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 230. Stanzas 2, 3, and 4. O thou who in a former day didst turn thy dreadful wrath away, in grace thy people, Lord, return, and let thy wrath no longer burn. 2, 3, and 4 of 230. Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.